What's going on, everybody? This is Colin with...
Hey, guys, it's Elliot.
And this is episode 85. And we have another special guest where we are going to be interviewing the one and only Carly Gross. Carly, how you doing?
Good. How are you guys doing today?
Doing very well. Thank you very much for coming on here. And yeah, we're looking forward to speaking to you here. So,
oh man, I'm stoked. I have fair warning. I have not done this before, so I'm a little bit of a noob. I'm absolutely thrilled to be working with you guys and chatting with you today.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, as I told you in email, we keep it pretty informal. We're just gonna talk about training and all the cool stuff you do. But so why don't we start it off? Do you mind kind of introducing yourself, a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So born and raised in Orange County, California. It was an amazing place growing up because we could go to the mountains in the morning and the beach in the afternoon. So really, really awesome. I did sports all throughout my childhood growing up. I played, 9-10 years of soccer. And funny enough, what started my running career was a broken collarbone from a soccer game. So the doctor was like, well, hey, you know, I'm not gonna let you play soccer, but I'll let you start running. And so I was like, okay, well, you know, it's one way to get back to soccer. And then lo and behold, here I am, you know, 20 something odd years later and absolutely loving triathlon. I competed in track and cross country in high school. Played water polo in high school, which is a bit of an odd one. Yeah. Definitely soccer. I did everything. And for fun, like my family and I've got two older brothers, my mom and dad, we would bike down to the beach on the weekends because it was 13 miles one way. And then we would just bike back home after hanging out at the beach all day. So lo and behold, long before I knew it, I was jumping into my first triathlon, had no idea what I was doing at all. I think I was a junior in high school.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say, how long ago was that? So, okay.
2009. Yeah, cool. Was my first triathlon in Southern California. It was the Carlsbad Triathlon way long ago. I remember I wore like a bike jersey, like just a basic bike jersey and like running spandex and had like tennis shoes on my bike. And that was pretty much it. No wetsuit. Nothing fancy. Everyone else, of course, cold ocean water, was just ready and amped to get into the water with a wetsuit. And I had a sports bra on and spandex. A very good learning curve.
One way to motivate to get out of the water faster, you know?
Yes, very much so. I honestly don't remember how I placed in it. I think I actually did pretty well. But from there, I went to college at the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Absolutely love Colorado. It's such an amazing place to train. I'm super jealous of all the people in Boulder that are there constantly. And I actually got recruited for track and cross country at the academy. So that's kind of how I started with them. I was still very much focused on running. To this day, I still say that I'm first and foremost a runner.
What was your specialty? What was your specialty in track and field?
Distance for sure. Okay. So anything beyond, I would even say beyond a 2 mile. I dabbled in the mile, but we had a lot of our 800 runners also doing the mile. So eventually, sometimes it was like a mile, then I do a 2 mile, then I'll do a 5K. I just remember this one race in Colorado where I was like, oh my gosh, a 5K is so many laps around a track. Holy cow. This is why I loved cross country season so much more. It was so much more fun. I loved being out on golf courses and, you know, being out in the woods, running over rocks and trees and whatever. So cross country was much more my realm than laps on laps on laps on laps. So I got recruited for track and cross country, did that for a year and a half. And then when I was a sophomore in college, I kind of went through this phase of like, what am I doing? The burnout factor was real high. And for me, at least, just my own story, like it really became a job before I knew it. And like my studies weren't going well. I remember this one race I did have, and it was a cross country race, funny enough. I was like, what am I doing out here? like, I'm just not having fun anymore. And so I talked with coach about it and I was like, you know what, I need to go my own way and do something that I know I love, which funny enough was triathlon.
Nice.
You know, I like to say a lot of us are gluttons for punishment because we do three sports in one, right? But I have always had that nagging like urge to get back to try. And I had the biking background just from biking back and forth to the beach all the time. I had the swimming background from playing water polo and growing up swimming in the ocean. And then I had the running background, obviously. So when I ended up quitting the track and cross country team, I found out there was this club collegiate academy triathlon team. Absolutely fell in love with them. It was incredible. We went to nationals 3 years in a row. And then I graduated. I made the Air Force Academy, or sorry, not Air Force Academy, the Air Force triathlon team. So once you commission and you graduate, there's actually a separate team on active duty, which is pretty cool. And they have reservists and guard members too. But I was only able to do that for 1 year. So I did that in 2014 and then boom, it was off to pilot training after that. And gotcha. Pilot training, I was down in Del Rio, Texas at Laughlin Air Force Base. That place has a special spot in my soul. I love the people of Del Rio. They're absolutely incredible. The people are really amazing. But I will say it is not exactly a vacation destination. And it is not exactly an ideal place to train for anything. I can't tell you how many runs I would go on where I would literally be jumping over rattlesnakes, like on dirt trails out there. I kid you not. Like, oh my gosh, there's another rattlesnake. It was one of those. Don't recommend that. So yeah, all my training kind of came to a grinding halt just for everything. I did manage to squeeze off a marathon in there, which was my one and only marathon I've ever done. It was the Rock and Roll in San Antonio. It was super fun, a very good race. I broke four, which I was really happy about, and I did it on like terrible training. I like kind of walked away injured from it, so don't recommend subpar training.
Yeah, all right, that part's not so cool. Yeah. Nice. And was is your family involved in the military, or like, are you the first? Any kind of
My parents are not in, never were. My oldest brother is in, Kevin. He was in active duty. He actually just got out recently, within the last year and a half or so, but he's flying with United now and he's flying part-time with the reserves down in Florida. So he's kind of got the best of both worlds.
Yeah,
cool. He's dabbling civilian nice. And reserves and loves it, loves life. He's able to be at home more with his daughter and everything. And then my middle brother, he's not in the military, which is kind of a good thing and kind of a bad thing. I love my brother, don't get me wrong. But Connor and I tend to butt heads sometimes with some authority figures, him a little bit more than me. But he's loving life down in Salt Lake City, working for a logistics company. And like, I literally called him last week at, I don't know, 8 a.m. And he was changing from the slopes to go into work. Like he was skiing for 2 hours prior to work. I'm like, what? That's amazing.
That's
like,
pretty cool.
I'm gonna do that. So nice. Yeah, there's three of us and the mom and dad, they're still in California, which is pretty cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so where are you now?
So I am in Spokane, Washington for a little bit longer. After pilot training, I actually ended up going to New Mexico twice, Alamogordo and then Clovis, New Mexico. I flew MQ-9s, which are RPAs, the remotely piloted aircraft. They do a lot of ISR. By the way, if I say an acronym, just call me out on it. Like the military is full of acronyms. Intel surveillance reconnaissance missions. They did have weapons on board, so I was able to pull the trigger a couple times, which was amazing. It's very, very rewarding part of that job. And then I switched. I ended up leaving the unmanned community, came to the manned community, and now I'm in Spokane and I fly the KC-135, which is an aerial refueling platform. So it's one of our oldest planes to refuel. born in 1957, I believe.
Wow.
Yeah. So I tease my mom all the time. I'm like, hey, mom, it's about as old as you are. She hates me. Not. But no, it's great. I absolutely love Spokane. I've been so blessed to live up here and to be able to train here. I mean, I can literally go to the Coeur d'Alene course and like swim and ride as like a training ride every single weekend.
Yeah.
It's incredible. I think I got like 4,000 feet of elevation gain in last weekend or two weekends ago. And even then I was like, oh my gosh, that was over 60 miles. Like that was insane. I never can hit this kind of hills anywhere where I've lived before. I mean, where I was in New Mexico was super pancake flat. And so to come up here, I'm like, oh my gosh, 3D landscape.
Nice.
So yeah, I'm That's super cool. excited. And then I actually got orders to move to Kansas in June. So I'll be headed out of town here in a couple months.
Right.
Gosh, next month. It's May. It's May already.
It is May now. Yeah. So that'll be next
May
month.
May the 4th be with you. That's my nerd moment.
It is. That's right. When we record it here is May 4th there. So May the 4th be with us there. Yeah.
But yeah, then I'll go down to Kansas and we'll see from there. So
awesome.
We'll get good wind training down there.
Yeah, that's a thing. Yeah. You know? Definitely a form of resistance, no doubt. So as a pilot, first off, thanks for serving here and everything you do there. Appreciate that.
Thanks for the support.
What's your work schedule? Like, how does that affect training? Like, tell us a little bit about more kind of training for you.
I'm actually really lucky. My commander has a policy where we're allowed to work out as part of our like duty day for an hour during the day. So I'm able to use that 1 hour time largely to my advantage on training, whether it's in the beginning of the day or the end of the day. But usually a typical day would be me waking up around 5:30, 6 o'clock, trying to squeeze a workout in if I have 2 days, quick shower, get to work, probably eat breakfast on the go, which I know is not the best, but I got to eat something, right? And then go through the workday. Work out again in the afternoon after 4:30 when I get home, and then meal prep if I haven't already done so, eat dinner, crash. By the time I've done all that, usually I've have like an hour to myself by the end of the day. But I try to go to bed at like 9:30, which this week has been glorious because I'm on alert this week, so I'm able to be at home working out as much as I need to, or as little as I need to. Literally right before this call, actually, I was standing and painting my deck downstairs. So I'm able to get a lot of house projects done, which is good. So we take advantage of the times that we have. And yeah, it's been really fortunate with the amount of working out that I have been able to do. Literally, I talked to someone, I think it was yesterday, and they were like, Carly, do you ever fly? I'm like, yeah, I do. I'm really good at time management. Like that's so critical to triathlons and triathletes and athletes in general. Like time management is key. You know, we've got to have that nailed down. So,
and so when you say like you're on and you've got that hour a day, is that like how often are you like on for 5 days and then off for a few, or like, that's just like you're on for continuous, or how's that part work?
So we usually, I mean, when I'm not flying, it's a normal work schedule. So 8 to 4, 4:30-ish. And then your hour, you can take that whenever you want during your day.
I see.
And that's usually like you go into the office, you know, you're at the computer, you interact with people, typical admin type day. When I'm flying, that's a completely different kind of a day. So if we're flying in the morning, usually it's like a 5:30 showtime. So you got to get up a lot earlier for showtimes, not that early. And then we're probably not done flying till like mid-afternoon. So we're putting in a full day, 12 hours-ish, plus or minus a few hours of flying operations. So those are the days that I come home mentally exhausted and I'm just like, oh my gosh, how am I going to get a workout in? You know, good workouts for me on those days are usually swims because the pool opens later in the evening, or lifts because then I listen to a podcast and then I just kind of, I don't want to say I go through the motions because I don't, like I do focus on my lift, but it's just a lot easier than, I don't know, sitting on the trainer at home after a day like that.
So, well, if you're anything like me, I'll take any distraction I can while I'm lifting.
Yes. Podcasts are money.
As long as you're doing it, that's good. So yes. Nice. And you have a coach, correct?
I do. Yes. Coach Joanna Schmidt. She's amazing. Funny enough, we actually met at the academy. She was my coach down there. And after we graduated, she actually had left the academy too and coaches at UT Austin. So she's in Austin. I'm in Spokane, and she's been an absolute angel with the chaos that is military schedules and lifestyles. Just being able to be flexible with the crazy changes we have. I texted her, there were a couple months ago, I got called last minute to go north. Can't really say where, but you probably piece it together. and I was like, coach, you're not going to believe this. Like, I am packing my bags right now. I just got a call. I need to be at work in the next 12 hours. And this was at like 6 at night. So I needed to pack, you know, all the food that I just made was going to spoil, even though, cause I didn't know how long I was going to be gone or where I was going necessarily. So that was fun. And she was like, yeah, no big deal. Like, you know, we're just going to flex with it. Try to get in whatever workouts you can, maybe some yoga to calm down the stress and the cortisol levels. And I was like, thank you for understanding. but yeah, she's absolutely incredible. I've loved working with her, and it's been really, really fun. It's been challenging with the distance. So there's that. But we do what we can, and you know, I'll have friends do like swim video taping and like, hey, I've got another video coming your way.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we did. So actually, Carly and I did chat a couple weeks ago offline here about some bike stuff. So that's how we kind of got connected. But as I said during that conversation, I mean, I certainly have remote clients and sometimes see video and it act like they're remote clients, even though they're not that far away from me even. And it's like almost easier sometimes to just get some video, you know, on your own than trying to coordinate things and stuff like that. So I mean, it's hard to say for sure, but I doubt you're missing out on too much there with her being remote if she's responsive like that. So that's cool.
Oh yeah. No, she's been amazing. You get it. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're a coach. You've got distance remote athletes. It's a thing.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
Yeah. Totally a thing.
Yeah. So like I'm sure obviously, you know, things come up and stuff like that. Like how much training do you typically try to get in per week, or like, how do you look at things from a training perspective?
Yeah. So I'm roughly logging about 10 to 15 hours a week right now. This week is a little bit of an exception. I am sort of in taper mode. I'm doing Gulf Coast next week.
Oh, that's right. Cool.
And then actually
on just Sunday, did Oceanside not too long ago, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I like to, you know, jam pack my schedule as much as I can. Again, that time management thing, you know. but yeah, I've got Gulf Coast next week, and I've got the Bloomsday 12K coming up this Sunday, and that's a local race in town, but it's massive. I mean, it draws in runners from Eastern Africa, from all over the world, which is incredible. Yeah. And there's prize purses at the end of it. So
Elliot, you and Beck are going to make the trip or what?
Pretty cool.
We got a duathlon this weekend.
Oh, what? You do? Okay.
Oh, you can do both.
There you go.
So I'm on the other side of the state as you, Carly.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
So we've done Coeur d'Alene a bunch and doing Victoria later this month. Yeah, great. It's May already. So
yeah, that's great. I actually had 70.3 Washington on your guys' side of the state.
Yeah.
On my list to do this year. And then I got orders.
Yeah.
So I'm actually currently in the process of changing my Salem registration in July to Waco probably on October.
Mm-hmm.
Just because the logistics, right, of traveling for triathlon it's a lot, and it's not exactly cheap.
Yeah.
So from Wichita, where I'm going, I can drive to Waco instead of fly to Salem, you know, get a rental car or get a hotel, all that stuff. So
yeah, I'm the same as you. I try to drive to races as much as I can.
Yep. Exactly. So doing a little bit of shifting on my calendar this year, but that's okay. So yeah, sorry, back to your question. I'm really good at segueing, by the way.
All good.
And,
good ones.
10 to 15 hours a week. Right now I'm doing about 2 to 3 swims a week, about 2 bricks a week if I can. So like a small little brick and then a bigger brick on the weekend. And that kind of takes care of a lot of the run and the bike training for me, with an extra runner bike in there. And then I'll do lift training and some yoga as well, which has been so instrumental to keeping me healthy.
Do you have an injury background at all, or you just feel like it's just kept you on point?
It's just mostly kept me healthy. I really started to get into yoga when I was in college, actually, and it was during triathlon. Coach was a huge proponent of it then, and you know, she still is now to this day. And I feel a difference when I don't do yoga. I'm like, oh, you know, my back, like, how old am I again? Am I 50 now? Like, what?
Which that's I'm right. We didn't, if you don't mind disclosing, we didn't say how old are you?
I'm 31. I don't 31. Mind.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, you can look
at 30 to 34 age group. Yeah. Right. That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. 31. Though sometimes it feels like I'm 81. So, you know, depends on the day. but yeah, no, yoga's been incredible, and lifting as well. I definitely was not the athlete to ever go to the gym when I was younger in high school or college. Like, I hated the gym. Honestly, I still don't really care for it to this day, but I do it because I know it's good for me. It's
a legitimate answer.
Yes. Yeah. And those two have kept me injury free for a while now, which is great. Like, I'll have niggles, right? You know, and little tweaks that come up, but nothing that I can't fix or work through. So
excellent. Excellent.
Yeah. I've been lucky.
Yeah. That's people like to say, don't wish me luck in triathlon, but I'll take as much as I can get.
Oh yeah. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah, totally. So
you said you got burnt out from your college day running. So what do you find different about triathlon? Do you just the variety, and is it less? I mean, obviously, probably less running.
Less running for sure. Though sometimes I'm like, dang it, I wish I had more running. Like, I've got a track workout to do today. And as much as I hate doing circles around the track, I actually, for some reason, don't mind it in triathlon. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it just brings back good nostalgia memories or what, but I'll do it. I don't mind track workouts. Back then though, I think just the monotony for me of that one singular sport mentality. We had a really interesting team dynamic as well, just with personalities. And I came onto the team as a freshman, got recruited, and then I started placing very well, very quickly. And I think that rubbed a lot of the girls on the team wrong, because they'd been on the team for a while. And then here I am, this newcomer on the block, kind of displacing them. I'm really not trying to toot my own horn, but that's how I saw it from my perspective, at least. And I just didn't, I don't know. I didn't really mesh as well as I thought I was going to initially. So that made it a little hard. And then the coach is phenomenal. I mean, she did such incredible work with us, but I think there was a disconnect from, again, this is my opinion and my experience, but I think there was a disconnect from our lifestyle having to do military training on top of academics and just keep our grades.
That was something I was going to try and mention here is, that's gotta be a very unique dynamic that,
right. And so you've got, you know, you've got academics, you've got military, and then you've got athletics, and one of the three is going to give. And for me, it started to become academics, and I did suffer. I'm not a techie person, and physics and chemistry were awful for me. I still don't like those subjects to this day, funny enough. I started to not do well in school. My performance in athletics started dropping as well. So things were kind of spiraling, and I've always been a person that does better when I have multiple things going on, not necessarily in that respect, but in an athletic performance mindset. So much to a lot of my coaches' dismays when I was growing up, I would randomly do a triathlon on a weekend we didn't have a race. And then I would tell them about it later after the weekend. And they were like, you did what? Over the weekend? I just, you know, I did a triathlon kind of thing this weekend. And like, Carly, like, we need you to focus on running. but I don't know. I felt like I always performed better when I had multiple disciplines in sport. And I feel like it's a healthier mindset. It's a healthier mentality. You know, more things.
Yeah. To dive in that a little bit more. So like, were you doing some cycling and swimming and stuff on your own to prepare for that triathlon, or were you just showing up and just kind of
just went for it? Yep.
I like it.
Hey. Yeah.
I mean, in high school, I was lucky because I was doing multiple sports and I was thriving off of that. I was doing so, so well. You know, cross country season was cross country season. And then we had water polo season in the winter in California. And then we had track season in the spring. And then soccer was kind of dabbled throughout all of that. And my coaches knew that. And so they understood, hey, this athlete is going to go from this season to this season to this season with extra in between there. And I think that made me a better runner in high school. So as long as the performances kept coming, they didn't seem to be too upset
about it.
Funny
how that works,
right?
Yeah.
But there was like definitely, there was a race, I think, right around regional championships or like state cross country championships, something like that. And I did a triathlon really close to that weekend. And they found out about it afterwards and they were just like, oh my gosh, how do we control this girl? And I was like, joke's on you, you don't.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, that's kind of just been something that I've loved. And I missed that in college. I missed the freedom to sign up for triathlons when I wanted to and to cross train more than I was.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I think that, you know, it's actually Elliot and I have talked about this. Like, even we just ran the Boston Marathon and like,
yes,
we're talking about,
congratulations, people, by the way, holy cow. Oh,
thank you. Thank you. Yeah. But like relative to pure runners, like we don't put in nearly the miles that a lot of them do. Right. But you know, we're cross training, and even I have a handful of pure runners that I work with, and I try to get them to cross train, at least some, you know, because especially with running, with how demanding it is on the body, it's just, it's a lot of pounding, mm-hmm. you know? And, I think that runners can really benefit from cycling, you know, potentially swimming if they have that background and things as well. So, I think you were doing yourself some favors there.
I coach a running clinic on the base on a couple of my weekdays. Cool. And you know, these guys, they're not really necessarily in it to compete like you and I would be, right? Most of these airmen are just trying to get faster at their mile and a half PT times,
right, for their testing, right? Yeah.
Right. For their testing so that they can stay in the service and they don't get in trouble, right? But the greatest thing that I'm finding about that is the fact that these airmen keep coming back. You know, they keep coming back for more, and I can see the improvements. And when they get excited about their improvements, that gets me excited. And I
absolutely
love that. But one of the things I do encourage them as well is, hey, on the days we're not running, go cross train, go lift, go cycle, do something else. But you got to do something. You don't want to just run your 3 days a week and call it good. Like, you need to keep doing something else. That's so, so critical. And I kind of wish that running coaches would encourage that more than they already do. Maybe they do now, I don't know. But when I was growing up, they didn't necessarily. It was very much like, right, no, you will run and you will only run.
You're a runner. You're going to run. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. So yeah, super, super critical for strength training and just staying injury free too.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Hey everybody, just want to take a quick break from the show here to announce our first official sponsor, and that would be Form Swimming and their Form goggles. So we recently had Form on, and we spoke about their product here, all the great advantages of it, but we really are big advocates of the data and what Form goggles can bring to the table to up your swimming. If you're like most of us in the triathlon world, you know, we're really kind of struggling through the swim, trying to get through it the best we can here, and it's not necessarily our background. even if it is, you know, there's really just some great things to be able to get instant feedback and be able to check things out while you're swimming, which is something that even with our Garmins and our watches is something that we're not able to do. So the goggles do have a display up in the corner and they allow you to see exactly what's going on again in real time. So, you know, we all struggle. I certainly struggle with pacing and being able to keep our splits reasonably close when it comes to our different sets. And, you know, especially in the open water, going out too hard, which is going to equate to working harder to go slowing as your form drops. So it's really important to maintain good technique here. And the form goggles can really help you with that here. So super excited to have them on board and to be able to offer you guys a discount on them. So if you want to take advantage of that, we're actually able to give you 20% off using the code AG, the number 4L20. So age grouper for life, 20, basically AG, the number 4L20 will get you 20% off the goggles. That's about a $50 savings, which is really happy to supply that to you guys here. So thank you to Form for being a sponsor here, and we look forward to your feedback and taking advantage of these.
So obviously with the run background, I assume we know the answer here, but do you consider the run to be your strength in triathlon?
I do. I really, really look forward to the run, as masochistic as that may be. I have a lot of work to go on the swim and the bike still. I just, you know, sometimes I feel like I've got this untapped reserve, right, of potential that I just know it's there. It's finding it and grabbing it and getting hold of it. But the run, I feel like it's my favorite too, because I can see those incremental improvements quicker and I get a quicker response out of that as well, which is interesting. But because I have always been a runner, you know, I understand it more. I get the pacing. I know, because I've been doing it for years, how my body's going to respond to different conditions. Gulf Coast is going to be very interesting with the heat and humidity. So that'll be
a warm one for sure.
Yes. But yeah, no, I love running the best, even though it's.
It is. Yeah. I often get that question of what do you consider, what's your favorite of the three? Mm-hmm. And I usually say, yeah, I think the run is typically my best, but it's kind of hard to say it's your favorite when, you know, you're hurting so bad usually at that point in the race.
So true. But, after I got done with Oceanside, I was like, oh my gosh, I literally cannot walk. Like, my legs are not functioning. Like, I just can't move. Why am I doing this to myself? And then 2 hours later, I'm like, all right, I'm ready to go to Florida and race Gulf Coast.
Next, like, let's go. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, kind of.
So let's talk about Oceanside for a minute here. Yeah. So how did that go for you?
I'm cold.
that's really fair.
Cold. So to start, gosh, the water was roughly 56 degrees, and that was after they pulled the swim from the ocean into the harbor. So typically it's an ocean start.
Oh, really? I didn't realize that. Okay.
Interesting. Okay. Typically it's an ocean start and you go out, hang a right, hang a right, hang a right. So you're doing a box pattern into the harbor. But because of the cold temperatures in the ocean, they were saying the harbor was a little bit warmer. I don't think it was. and then I think part of it, and they didn't officially say this, but knowing how the rains have been in California, because my parents have been there for the last couple of weeks, part of that race, and from growing up there, the runoff into the ocean is
a little nasty. Yeah.
A little toxic.
Yeah.
So I think that mindset, they were also, well, trying to keep the athletes safer, pulling them into the harbor a little bit more protected, maybe from the runoff in the ocean. But yeah, it was 56 degrees. Hands down, coldest swim I've ever swam, with the exception of a local race in Salem last year where they opened the dam overnight and didn't tell anybody. So that was fun. Yeah, Oceanside was interesting. The swim, and I think because of the swim or the cold, my swim was not my best. It was actually probably one of my worst performances in the water. My splits were all over the place. And I talked to my coach about it afterwards. Like, I know what I need to do. It's just doing it now.
Well, early season race too. You hadn't raced this year, I'm assuming, prior to that, right? Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Had you done Oceanside before?
I had, yeah. This was my third time doing it. So in general, I think my performance was the best out of this time. I did it once in 2013, and then I did it last year, and then this was my third. So it'd been a while, obviously, since 2013, and I don't really remember that race, but last year, the bike was already an improvement for me because I didn't drop my aero bottle at mile five, so that was nice. I didn't have that guy quite seated on there last year, and the whole thing just all over the ground. I lost half of my water before the first aid station. And I was just like, really, really right now?
Sets you up for a great day, right?
Yeah, that was not great. this year was better. We did have some water running across one of the roads. We had to slow down for that. And then I never heard about the guy, but we had an accident happen at mile like 50. Oh, really? And this guy was like sprawled out in the middle of the intersection. And I hope he's okay. I'm going to assume he is because I didn't hear otherwise, but we had a bit of sled on there, but other than that, the bike was really good. It's cold too, just coming out of the water.
Yeah.
And then the run, I went way too fast on the run to start. I was just so excited to like hit my favorite part, right? You know, all the adrenaline's going and you start a new section and you're like, yes, I got this. Whoops, went way too fast on my first mile. I think I was sub seven. I definitely slowed down around mile 8 to 9 even. And it was funny. It was 5 second slow down increments from mile 1 all the way to like mile 8, 9. And so I'm like,
at least it's consistent.
I was like, yeah, well, I guess I'm consistent. If anything else, I don't know. and then I fought through it literally in my head at one point. I was like, no, Carly, like this is for the world championships. Like, this is it. This is your slot. This is your time. Don't settle. You know, these are the thoughts that are going through my head constantly. Pick up
those are some good ones. Better than turnover. I want to quit and stop all the time, right?
Yep. Yep. And then finish. Yeah, my run time was not great. Last year was better as well on the run. Hoping to fix that at Gulf Coast.
Let's do it.
It's funny. I know I can do better. It's just the execution I think needs work and the pacing. So overall, it was a good race. I got third in the age group, which I'm pretty happy about. And I did end up qualifying for Finland. So I'll be going to Finland in August. Nice. Which I'm stoked.
You're
going to
go. Cool. Yeah.
Yep.
Awesome.
Yep.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Highly recommend Oceanside, though, if you guys haven't done it. It's an incredible course. You got to go on Camp Pendleton, the Marine Corps base, which is pretty cool. The hills are bad, but they're not that bad. Just saying. They're not like St. George bad. I've done that race a couple times, too. That's a dicey one. So, then I got a Gulf Coast coming up, and then Salem, I got to move probably to Waco in October. Then I've got Finland, and I'm kind of keeping my schedule open in the second half of the year because I am moving to a new base. I don't know what my life is going to look like when I get down there. So there's a lot of fat question marks right now that I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah. Cool.
Do you have any desire to do an Ironman?
You know, I do. I have had so many people ask me that, and it's not that I don't, I definitely do, but as you guys know, training for a 70.3 in and of itself is a lot of work. Yeah. You know, I do have a full-time job and I'm spending already 10 to 15 hours outside of work, working out for 70.3. To work out for a full, I almost would need like an extra 10 hours in the day, I feel like. But we only have 24 hours, right?
I guess the contrary to that, I will say, is just that don't think that because you're doing double the distance, you need to do double the training volume by any means.
True. And I've heard that before, like totally doable with maybe 15 hours, maybe 20 of training to do a full Ironman. So I'm certainly not opposed. I just don't know where and when I would fit that in my schedule right now.
Yeah. No,
but I want to do it one day.
Don't take that as that you need to go do an Ironman. Like, you know, ultimately still, you know, if you're improving and you're making gains, you're likely to continue to improve more and faster if you stick to shorter stuff. So right. I think developmentally, you know, that's gonna help you. And you know, Ironman is not going anywhere. So, you know, I wouldn't worry about it too much if you're having fun with the 70.3s and faster or shorter here.
It is on my list though. It is on my list. Yeah. Maybe I'll just come sign up for my first one. I'll do Lake Placid near you guys.
And
I'll
there give you go. A
heads up. Well, I guess near you, Colin, not Elliot. But
yeah, right. Yeah, I'll be out there in a week and a half or 2 weeks. 2 weeks I'll be out there
for training camp
putting on. So yeah, it should be fun. But
are you rolling the training camp into the race? I don't even know what time of year the race is, but
The race is actually not till July. Normally you do the camp in June, but because there's a new 70.3 Western Massachusetts 70.3 at the beginning of June, then there's a local half the next weekend, then there's a local half in New Hampshire the next weekend. So like June's kind of booked up for a lot of people. So we're doing it in the middle of May this year, which is the first. And hopefully the weather's all right here. I'll put it that way.
Good luck.
All right. The water's going to be brisk for sure. But
if it's anything comparable to here, and I know Elliot knows, it's been beautiful the last week up here. I mean, it finally hit 85 degrees. And since I've been at home, I've been able to like lay out and tan every day. It's been great. But tomorrow it's supposed to drop to 55 degrees and raining the entire day and then on through the weekend. So
yeah, we're not out of it. We're not out of it yet.
We're not. We are absolutely not. And there's definitely no open water swimming to be had yet, at least over here.
Yeah.
That was actually really funny. I just remembered the announcer that was, you know, giving the awards out at Oceanside. He was like, "Oh, Spokane, Washington," you know, reading out where we're from. And I was like, "Yeah, you know, I'm from Orange County, like I'm from here, but I live in Spokane." And he's like, "Oh, was this your first outdoor swim of the year?" I was like, "Actually, yeah, it was. It was my first outdoor swim." And then I thought again, I was like, "Oh my gosh, this was my first outdoor bike."
Was it? Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It was my first outdoor swim and bike because it had just been so cold. And we've been getting slammed with snow this winter and the second half of the winter too, go figure.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like, all right, well, thank God for Ruvi and thank God for Wahoo Kickers, because that helped a lot.
definitely. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, but give yourself some credit or understanding on that as well, right? With, you know, I do think it's important to get out and experience the elements a little bit prior to racing when we can. I mean, some, you know, it is what it is, right? We do what we got to do, but that probably didn't do you any favors, you know? So,
no, my like, I don't know. I feel like my threshold's 50 degrees. If it's colder than 50, I'm kind of like, I don't know about it today.
You're a Cali girl, you know? I mean, I guess you got to kind of understand that, you know?
That's true.
So how about ask you a little bit of a controversial question here? Like, what are your thoughts on, I know you're not doing Ironman, but like the extra female slots and like the allocation of slots for the Ironman races, you know, for this year?
Oh, for the women for try?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was a really interesting process, actually, watching that this year compared to the previous years. I feel like, and I think they cover this. There was a podcast on how they train with Andrew Messick. That was interesting.
Oh yeah.
Highly recommend it. Yeah. That one like really spoke to me because that is what we go through, right? And the problem that I think a lot of us age group athletes are seeing is that all of these slot roll downs, right? There's so many slots now that they're almost just like giving them away. And then once they're giving them away, then you add on top of it, the women for tri slots. And now we're looking at how far down the list are we actually going here? And then you think,
Wait a second, anybody want to go to this place, right? Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You know, can the infrastructure of these places that we're going to actually hold all of these athletes? I mean, we saw the chaos in Kona last year with the world championships and the two races that went on. So I think it's really interesting what the motive is behind that process. Remains to be seen. And I think they did a really good job in the How They Train podcast of touching on that, even though Messick walked off the podcast. That was interesting. So that leaves questions and doubts, but I think it's good stuff to talk about because it is important. It's important for age groupers to understand what they are getting into if they do get a slot, you know. And oh, by the way, the cost have increased dramatically. I don't know if you guys have seen that, but I remember
it's been steadily increasing over the years here for sure.
Yeah. I paid when I was in Waco in 2019, I qualified for 2020 Worlds. Obviously that got rolled down the road to last year. But that was $500 to accept the slot. This year it was $770. Yeah. And I'm kind of like, what happened here? Like, where is this money going? Like, I want to know literally what these things are going to, not to mention the registration fees that we have to face every single time we sign up for a race.
Yeah, sure, sure. Oof. What was Kona last year, Elliot? I don't remember what it.
I think it was 1200, but I think it's like, oof. I think it's 1600 now.
Yeah, here it's like, oof. I want to say 1550 or something for Nice, something like that.
I mean, that's literally, I was looking at tickets this morning to Helsinki and that's the cost of the plane ticket.
Yeah.
Like that's just the plane ticket. That's not the lodging or the train fees or the cars or the taxis or anything else that you have to get while you're over there. Not to mention food. You know, it's quite a commitment, I think, for a lot of us, obviously. And I do wish that Ironman would take a bigger look into how they're directly affecting the age group athletes like us that have full-time jobs that also have to support families. If you have a family and you're also spending this much time and money away from them training, and then to ask your entire family to uproot and go to a race to watch you for several hours, like that's in a foreign country, nonetheless, like that's a pretty big deal, you know? So I do wish Ironman would look at that a little bit more. Whether they do remains to be seen. I do like the Women for Try initiative. I think they have good intent and I think they have a good goal in mind with trying to get more women in the sport, which is great, obviously. The thing that I don't necessarily like seeing though is what I saw at Oceanside when the roll down ceremony, and I kid you not, I think it was men's, was it 35 to 39 rolled down to number 35. The 35th finisher.
I've heard worse than that. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was just one category of men's.
Right.
One category of women's rolled down. And these are normal slots. These aren't even women for tri slots.
Oh, they
these
weren't
are normal
okay.
slots.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Rolled down in the women's 40 to 45 or 40 to 44 age group. Down to like 40. And then they still hadn't allocated any of the women for tri slots yet.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I didn't stick around for that part of the ceremony. Once I got my slot, my family was like, can we go? I was like, yeah, okay, we can go. Because we still had a drive to get home.
Oh yeah.
But that's a lot. I mean, we need to look at, I think, how they train in that podcast. They brought up a lot of really good ideas about restricting time cutoffs, you know, for qualifying slots. I mean, think about it with Boston, right? You guys just ran Boston. You could totally implement something like that.
Yeah, no doubt. There's not a lack of ideas and, you know, things that we could definitely try. And it's definitely interesting times for sure.
Yeah, definitely is.
Yeah.
I do. I think the challenge series is interesting. I don't know a lot about that one, but it seems kind of like this up and coming thing right now. I don't know. Or maybe I'm just now paying attention to it. And I'm like, oh, this is a whole new brand I didn't realize was out there.
Well, challenge has actually been around for quite a while.
So I'm just paying attention more to it.
Well, no, but I mean, they have changed things and they have seemed to pick up some momentum for sure, you know, over the last couple of years. And I think it is because of the increased prices and everything that's going on with Ironman. And people are saying, do I really, you know, is this the best option for me? And it used to be you wanted to cross that Ironman finish line. And I think maybe that's not necessarily as important as it once was, you know?
Right. Right.
There's
some amazing, amazing local 70.3s out there.
Yeah.
Like I did the Harvest Moon in Colorado a couple years ago. That one was fantastic in the fall. and amazing race swag. So that was great.
Nice.
And then actually Elliot won out your way too, out in Salem area, is the Best in the West triathlon. Usually falls on the same weekend as the 70.3 in Washington or close to that. But that was a great series too. They do a whole triathlon festival, every single event you could imagine they had. Everything from like a 1K kids run to a swim bike swim to a full 70.3. I mean, it was incredible. It was really, really well done. And they had great swag. I got a cowboy hat.
How's the turnout to that race?
It was small. I will say it was small for that one. I mean, it's not anywhere close to 70.3 for Ironman, right? Because it is a local race. I think it brought out some good competitors though, especially those that weren't racing in the Ironman 70.3 the next weekend. So I think that because they're both back to back, I think the Ironman race pulls a lot of people away from the Best in the West try.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Oh, yeah. The other thing that we really had to deal with last year on that one, besides the dam opening overnight, was smoke. And it was the beginning of September. I'm sure, Elliot, you remember the smoke season out here was horrendous.
Yeah.
It was that weekend. So that was fun. I was
cool. Still had it. That's good. Huh?
There's like red shadows on the ground because the sky is red.
Wow. And your lungs are hurting.
It was a lot. Yeah. I was like, oh my gosh, we need to get out of here. You know, at the end of the day. It's a great one. I recommend it though. That one was great. I hope the locals stick around. I'm going down to Walla Walla May 20th, by the way, Elliot, you guys should totally come. There's a little small triathlon going on down there, the Onion Man.
Oh, and yeah.
I'm not racing it, but I've got three friends who are, and I'm just going to help volunteer with the swim start and kind of out in the water and stuff, and then cheer them on afterwards. So if you guys are out there, let me know.
Okay.
I'll cheer you on.
We're the same way. Onion Man.
That's awesome.
We're trying to do a lot more local races as well. So we're doing, where is it? It's in Bend, Oregon. I think it's the Pacific Crest Festival in June.
Oh, I've heard of that one.
Yeah. So yeah, it's kind of the same. Really, I think it's the same kind of concept as the Best in the West. It's just all different kinds of distances. And yeah, hopefully it'll be fun.
Awesome. Yeah, that one will be really good. If you guys are into ultras at all, like the ultra community out here is absolutely incredible. One of the guys that I go to Cairo adjustments for, he puts on the CAN in Spokane. It's a 25K, a 50K, and a 100K trail race out here, which is pretty awesome. So that's a good one too. Running, yay. You don't see a lot of swim only events.
You haven't,
there's one in Pondere, but that's it.
You haven't dabbled in any of those distances, have you?
I tried to sign up for a 25K. Actually it was a 50K. I tried to sign up for a 50K. That was a mistake. only because I wasn't trained for it. Again, I did one of those, you know, oops, didn't train a whole lot. Let's downgrade the race distance, which is what I did. But it was an amazing race. It was down in Moab area. Zion. It was down in Zion, Southern Utah. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And that whole area of the country is just so spectacular. So we raced like along the river that goes in and out of Zion and up the cliffs and on all these bluffs, and had the most amazing views with snow still on the mountains and all this amazing red rock. It was just absolutely incredible. I downgraded my race to a half marathon instead of a 50K for that one.
That's cool though.
Which was good. I think if I had done the 50K, A, I probably would have gotten lost. Or B, I would have gotten injured. Or C, I would have gotten bit by a snake, knowing me. So
you mentioned that, especially with your snake story from earlier, that came to mind for me again.
It is a real thing. I had an encounter in California twice again. Not recently, this was back in high school, but I was doing a trail run and I was like, come down this trail, and it is a hard hook right, but it's like a blind corner. And right as I came around this corner downhill, so you're going fast, right? I jump over the snake and I'm like, oh my gosh. And both of us were just so startled that it didn't even have time to rattle its little like tail because it was so startled. It didn't know I was coming.
Wow.
I've never jumped so high in my life before.
I bet. I can only imagine. I consider myself to be a white boy that can't jump, but I can see myself jumping for that one.
Oh yeah, that's me too. My girl can't jump over here. Don't have hops. I jumped on that one. Yep. Yep. Now out here you just kind of gotta worry about bears and mountain lions, I guess. For the most part.
No big deal.
Yeah. You just run faster. My dad likes to say, kick them in the nuts and run. You'll be fine.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So what's, you know, we've got kind of, or we'll see what happens this year. You kind of dab a little bit, eventually maybe Ironman, but like what are we going to see for goals for you kind of in the shorter, longer term, would you say?
Yeah. So definitely I'm trying to break five. I think that has been my nemesis for the last couple of years, just breaking 5 hours right now. I have a really good chance, I think, coming up next week at Gulf Coast.
I was going to say, that's going to change pretty quickly here.
Right. Yeah. That should, if I don't break five, I'm going to have a really unhappy day. I think it could have happened last year, but the swim at Gulf Coast was canceled last year because of rip currents, which was good. It was a good safety call that they made, but it would end up being a bike run only. So I can't really count that as a true, you know, yeah, I broke 5 hours, obviously, because the swim wasn't there.
Yep.
So this is kind of my chance, I think. And then if I can get down into the fours, that'd be icing on the cake. That's kind of the big goal right now for me. Other than that, with all the other moving pieces I've got with moving, I'm trying to go to aircraft commander upgrade here by the end of the year as well for work. So that's going to take a lot of time and potentially a lot of focus in another direction. Not that I'm not going to get my workouts in, because I will still get them in. But yeah, priorities. But yeah, breaking five right now, trying to get as many races on the schedule. I think if anything, like I might sign up for some local Olympics, maybe some sprints when I get down to Kansas, just so I can stay in the game and I can keep my feet wet and I can, you know, keep my legs turning over quick and get some speed work in. I think that's really important to kind of jump around. So I think that'd be really good. Otherwise, next year. So I haven't told Alex this yet, but I think I'm going to say yes to Crew Cycles.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Which means, which means Aero Camp in March, April next year.
Cool.
And you know, it's funny. I actually had looked at adding on a full Ironman at the end of next year, at the end of 2024. But now with the calendar and when Worlds is, I'm going to obviously try to make Worlds in New Zealand, because who doesn't want to go to New Zealand? Well, that's in December.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm like, well, crap. I can't, you know, I don't know how that would work with energy management, you know, body management, recovery, all that kind of stuff, with trying to squeeze both events in at the end of the year next year. So,
yeah. Yeah.
We'll see.
Well, that's exciting. Yeah. I wasn't going to drop the name here with what our conversations were about before, but yes. Yeah. Carly's interested.
It's okay. I know he's sleeping right now, so he's going to wake up to a really happy email on Friday.
Oh, nice. I don't know. That guy doesn't sleep from what I, the messages I get from him, actually.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Very cool. Well, yeah, I'll have to give you some feedback here next month. Hopefully when I grab mine here. So
yes, please do.
Yeah. Should be exciting. So,
yeah.
And maybe we'll have some involvement with them here in the States here as well. So,
that would be great. I may or may not have already
going on about that right now. So we'll see.
Right. I may or may not have already mentioned an aero camp in Boulder.
Oh yeah.
Because one, I'm pretty sure they have a velodrome. And if they don't, at least Colorado Springs does, because they have the Olympic Training Center down there.
Yeah.
And then two, it's only an 8-hour drive for me from Kansas. So that would be really nice.
Cool. We'll have to get Elliot on a coup here as well, huh?
Yeah, dude.
Man, I just got my bike, Colin.
What are you riding on?
That was last year.
I'm riding a felt.
I guess we'll just have to get one for Becca then.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah,
Colin, I kind of already know how your calendar looks for the year. Elliot, how's yours looking?
Doing Victoria at the end of the month, and then Ironman Canada end of August. And then, yeah, cool. That's kind of my big race of the year.
Wow, that's awesome. A full? That's a full, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, okay, cool. Best of luck. Hopefully I get to watch it Thank live you. Time.
Yeah, so cool. Well, yeah, thank you so much for coming on here and sharing your experiences with us here. Good luck with, you know, or good luck in a couple of weeks here, and go crush you. Sub 5 here. Take care of that here. I think it's going to happen.
Yep.
Yeah.
I hope so. It's time. Like every race, there's always just one little thing that I'm like, why did I do that? That was such a dumb mistake. Like, I know not to do that, you know? And that's like the crux of being an age group athlete. I feel like there's always just that one thing in every race that, you know, like dropping your aero bottle, like who does that? Because you didn't latch it tightly enough.
It's a bummer, but yeah. You'll get there. Keep practicing. Hopefully have the game plan in place and execute on it, and good things will happen here.
Yeah.
That's, no race that's is ever perfect. So that's the adversity that makes things interesting, right?
You bet. I'll let you know. I'll let both of you guys know whether, you know, especially when I get to Kansas, whether I'm going to go East Coast or West Coast for races.
All right.
Since those are kind of the directions I'm going to have to go in. With the exception of Waco and Des Moines. I don't know how I'm going to feel about that one. It sounds hot, very hot in Iowa. So we'll see.
I think you need to broaden yourself and come East Coast here.
I think so too. I haven't done any races on the East Coast yet. It's about time. My dad's trying to get me to Michigan too. We're big Wolverine fans.
Okay. So cool.
We could time that with football season. That would be ideal.
There you go. Well, I'll take a jab then, and I'm not sure you're a hockey fan, but my school I played with, Quinnipiac, took out Michigan in the Frozen Four this year. So,
I'm not a huge. I love hockey. I definitely will follow it more than I will basketball. I like hockey a lot better, but football, college football is more my game.
That's cool. Gotta respect that.
Yeah. College football's the best.
Yeah, totally. Very cool. Well, thanks again, Carly. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank
and
you.
Yeah, thanks everybody for listening here. And we'll talk to everybody soon.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Cool.
Have a good one, guys.
Take care.
All right, bye. Yeah.